Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
My name is Matt. If you're visiting here, welcome. Thanks for being here with us at Vintage Faith. And we're continuing on in our series called Redeeming Your Doubts. And the idea is this: your doubts have value. Have you ever thought about it that way? That your doubts actually have value. And we want to redeem our doubts. We feel like we can actually bring our doubts to God and that they have value. Our doubts don't have to be weights or shame. Our doubts don't have to be burdens, but they actually have value. And our doubts have value when we can bring them to God and say, I'm having trouble with this. Because I think God can leverage our doubts and actually help fortify our relationship with Him. When you bring your doubts to God, that doesn't mean God doesn't get offended and distance himself from you. I think when we bring our doubts to God, it actually creates a conversation that forms intimacy between you and him. I think for too many years in my life personally, the doubts I had about faith, the doubts I had about God, the doubts I had about some different theological points, I felt embarrassed about some of the doubts I had. It's true that you can go through, I went through 4 years of Bible college and then 3 years of seminary, and that even after 7 years, more than that, of study, I still had doubts. There were still gray areas to my faith that I had trouble understanding. And I could have let, and we can all let our doubts separate us from God, and that there are just conversations that are off limits between you and God. Or we can say, God, I'm going to bring you my doubts. I'm going to bring you my concerns, my questions, my fears, my worries. And I think that there's something magical that happens when we can be honest and transparent with God, that actually meets us in the middle of our doubts, way better than he meets us in the middle of our pride. And so we're talking about redeeming our doubts. When I was in high school, I had a job and, you know, did different things. But one of the things that my sister and I did to make extra money, you may have done this too. Maybe I'm the only one. I'm going to see who else can share this with me. But when I was little, the way that my sister and I raised extra money is we went around collecting cans. Anybody else do that as a kid? All right, Jeremy, I thought you would be a can collector kind of guy. Knowing Jeremy, he still collects them. He collects them and sells them on eBay. Yeah, up in Oregon, you could collect cans and you could trade them in at the gas station or the grocery store for 5 cents. And it seems like a lot of work for 5 cents. But after you have a whole bunch of cans and you collect, you know, when you're little, you know, $7, $8, you're like, jackpot. You know, what am I going to do with all this money? So when I thought about redeeming our doubts, I thought about redeeming cans. Cans can seem really insignificant, the 5 cents a can. But when we bring our doubts to God, that they actually have value in them. So that's why it's valuable for us to bring our doubts to God. So we've been talking about all these sorts of doubts over the last couple weeks, and I'm going to have to make this a little bit shorter than I want to, but we'll get there anyways. I want to talk about a verse and jump in here with a verse from the prophet Isaiah. And the context of this verse is really important because it tells us a lot about what God's thoughts are. And these words that Isaiah had spoken were, it's God's message to the people. And I think it's an encouraging and an enlightening verse, not only for the original hearers, but for us today. So let me read to you the verse. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. It says this. Remember, this is God speaking to people who have concerns. And so if you have concerns and you have doubts in the room, this is a good word for you. This is what God says to us. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His thoughts are not your thoughts. Is that a revelation to you? Is that a surprise to you that God's thoughts are not your thoughts? His ways, they're not your ways. His ways, in fact, are actually higher than your ways, and his thoughts, they are higher than your thoughts. God has something that we don't have, and it is that God has this heavenly perspective of life. Where you and I see the here and now, he sees the big picture. Where we see just a page of our life, he sees the entire story. His thoughts, his ways are higher. They're different. They're deeper than our ways. They're understanding of the whole process, not just this one little snippet of your life. God needed to remind the people that there's a big difference between his thoughts and our thoughts. Have you ever had doubts concerning the fact that God actually knew what he was doing? Have you ever doubted God's methods? Has anybody doubted God's methods? Have you ever doubted God's ways? I can speak to this directly. There have been times in my life where I had very serious concerns about what God was and wasn't doing. I was very concerned that he was paying attention to what was going on around me. Have you ever felt that way? There have been several times in my life where I have had a really raw prayer, and it sounded like this. I remember just in tears, it's different traumatic moments in my life. And I remember saying a prayer much like this one. Maybe you've said this to God too. There has got to be a better way. Have you ever said that to God? When that news hits about something or someone you love has passed away or whatever the situation may be, you know that there's a good thing that can come out of the end of it, but you ask God, isn't there a better way? I know that at the end of this, it's going to be okay. So it's not the destination I'm concerned about. It's the methods of getting from A to B that I'm concerned about. Isn't there a better way? Isn't there a better way? I remember just crying out to God when my mom got sick, and I knew God would be faithful, and I knew God had a plan, and when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, it was like my world just shattered around me, and I didn't know what to do. I had nothing to hold on to, and I knew in my thought, and I knew that ultimately it was all going to be okay. Ultimately, it was all going to be okay. But in that moment, I told God, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. My ways just don't seem to often be his ways. And my thoughts don't often seem to be his thoughts. Yeah. And the tension between my thoughts and his thoughts, the doubt that can erupt in that middle of that tension can cause you to separate yourself from God rather than cling on to him. Yeah. Yeah. I've done both, and I know how it works out. Those times when I've clinged on to God in the middle of my doubts, he has shown up and he has been mighty and strong and secure. And those moments where I have let go of him in the middle of my doubts, I have found myself losing all hope. This is something that we only learn from going through experience, right? This is the only thing, like, I can tell you all about this, and you're like, hey, it sounds good. You can even give me an amen here and there, but until you actually face a challenge like this, it doesn't seem real to you yet. Yeah. It is in that moment of crisis where your doubts become loud that you need to grab onto something that really matters, and that relationship that you build right now in this quiet season of your life will be the relationship that will sustain you through the doubts that come ahead of you. And that's why we fortify and we build a rapport with God, because I want to have an ongoing relationship with him that continues through the difficult seasons of life. It isn't when things get really difficult that I start saying, God, I really got to start spending more time with you. God, I've really got to start learning to hear your voice. In the middle of the wilderness isn't a good time to try to tune your ear to his voice. The best time to tune your ear to his voice is when things seem to be going okay in life. God's promises are clear. But his process, that's a mystery. Isn't that true? God's promises, they're clear. You know what his promises are? They're all over his word. His promises are very easy for you to discover. You have a Bible, or there's one in the seat in front of you. It's yours. You can take it with you. But his promises are clear. But his process, well, that's just a mystery for all of us. We know the destination. The destination is clear. But how I get from here to there, that's going to be a little bit of a mystery. Can I give you a little bit of a visual today? It's been a long time since I jumped on furniture at church, so it's a good day to start. Watch yourself. I wore my stretchy pants. This is the way it feels like in life sometimes. God has something very clear for you, and you can think about some of those things. God has very clear goals. He has a very clear destination for your life. He has very clear dreams for your life that he's made very clear to you. He's got this destination in mind for you. And you, in your finite wisdom, have a great idea to get from where you are to where God wants you to be. And it looks like a very straight path. It looks very like a very obstacle-free path. You just simply get to walk into the promises that God has for you. That's what we would like. But so let me tell you what we want. We want, this is where I am, and that's where I'm going, and I just got to put one foot forward and just see you later. See ya. And just arrive at what the promises are that he has for you. That's what we would like it to look like. Can I tell you and show you what it often does look like? It looks a little bit more like, well, I'll go over here, and then Are those glasses valuable? No, okay. Are they? I need... Don't worry. And then, that was difficult. Excuse me. Okay, I'm making progress. It's getting easier. Oh, I'm gonna take a nap. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm making progress. I see the promises God has me, but man, I gotta go this way now. Are you kidding me about this? Isn't there a better way? Oh, hi, Jeremy. Oh, I'm making progress, but oh, sorry. Oh, that we almost hurt each other there. I'm getting closer, and then finally, I'm getting closer and closer. That's a better picture of my life. I mean, the altitude when you get up that high, it's just, I'm in pretty good shape, but if God's thoughts were my thoughts, my life would look a little bit more linear. Yeah. But his thoughts and his ways are different than my thoughts and my ways. Yeah. And there's a reason that your journey is a mystery. Yeah. Because if it was really clear and it didn't require any faith, you wouldn't need Jesus to accomplish it. But because it's a mystery and because it's an adventure, there's twists and turns and danger and fun. And there are people that you get to touch and meet and know who shape you along the journey. It would be easier just to fast forward and get from A to B, but there's a purpose behind all the pain of the journey that actually makes you the person God wants you to be, because the destination isn't as important as the character God is forming in you. I'm seriously exhausted. CrossFit. It says, meet me here tomorrow. We'll do that workout. I'll show you the way. God has peace for you and joy and abundant life and hope and character and integrity. He has all these things for you, and he wants to do things through you and in you along the journey. And I think this is where the tension fits, is we think if God's ways and his thoughts are high and perfect, then the road is easy. It isn't. The journey is wild, and it's an adventure, and it's a mystery, and it's an adventure, and it's a mystery on purpose, because along the way, you get to learn more about yourself and the people around you. And you notice as I'm crawling through people, I had to keep reframing my gaze back to what really matters in life. I had to keep focusing back on where I'm headed. I had to keep making progress. The doubt that God's ways are accurate is a real doubt. The doubt and the concern that God knows what he's actually doing, those are real concerns and real doubts. And I think these are doubts we can bring to God, and we say, God, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand the journey I'm on. I don't understand this season of life. It doesn't seem to make sense. I tell you what, you don't have to know why it makes sense right now, because God will make it clear to you later. Have you faced anything really difficult in your life that later showed up to be a real blessing in your life? Have you faced anything that was like, had the potential to derail you, but you navigated, you honored God through that, and then looking back, you're like, man, that has been a blessing to me. What was once a burden and a drama I wanted to avoid, now it shaped me, and now I actually get to lead people into freedom because I know what freedom looks like because I went through it already. So it only takes time. We have to have this new perspective, a heavenly perspective of the challenge we face. Now, it isn't to say that God gave you cancer, because I don't think that's true. It doesn't say that God made this bad thing happen to you, but God can redeem any and every bad thing that ever happens to you. He doesn't place bad things around us to damage us, but to refine us. So will we honor God in the process? Will we honor God on the journey? Why am I still having trouble breathing? I mean, I'm pretty fit, clearly. When Grace and I moved to Los Angeles, we didn't know where anything was. Is anybody else an LA transplant? You came here from someplace else. Well, Grace and I moved to Los Angeles. I moved from a town of 12,000 people to a city of 4 million people. It was pretty dramatic. And I remember thinking when we were driving our U-Haul into town, I remember thinking, let's get to LA about 3 o'clock so we'll beat the traffic. Remember? Because we had the U-Haul and we were towing our car behind us. I thought, let's time it right. Let's have an extra long lunch and just relax and get to LA by 3 so we'll miss all the traffic. I didn't know that the traffic started earlier than that. I didn't have a frame of reference for what that was like. But when we got to LA, I had to rely, and this will date me a little bit, but I had to rely on my navigation system. I had one of the Garmins, you know, you plug into the cigarette lighter. There were no iPhones yet at this time in the history of the world. We had a Garmin, and we had to plug in the directions for everything. And so when we moved to LA, we didn't have any furniture. We needed to get some stuff, so we started going to garage sales. So I looked on Craigslist, and I found a garage sale, and I looked for a garage sale in Manhattan Beach. That's where we were living. And I gave the address for the garage sale. I said, okay, let's go to this garage sale. Let's check it out. So I get out the Garmin. I had to punch in the numbers. You know how hard it was to, like, punch in the right numbers and letters, and it was always so funky and weird. So I push in all the numbers, and we get in the car, and I hit go, and it says, your destination is in 0.1 miles. It's like, it's a tenth of a mile away. It was a tenth of a mile away. It was right around the corner. I had no idea about where anything really was because I was brand new. But I relied on that Garmin GPS for months and months and months before I got my frame of reference. I relied on that thing to tell me exactly where to go, when to go, and how to get there, when to turn, when not to turn. I relied on that thing heavily. But as I became, and I lived here in LA longer and longer, I became more and more comfortable that I could get myself where I needed to go without my Garmin. I became more and more comfortable that I didn't need my Garmin to get me from Manhattan Beach to Hermosa Beach. I shouldn't get lost. It's not that difficult. Now, what this means for us is, for some of us, when we first came to Jesus, we had great reliance on his voice. When we first came to Jesus, we were coming, remember this? We were coming to Jesus with everything. God, is it okay if I listen to this? Is it okay if I watch this? God, should I turn left or right? I don't know how spiritual you were. That's how spiritual I was. God, what should I do about this? Should I call this person? Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Well, as I have grown in my faith and as I have grown more self-reliant, I don't go to God as much because I think I've got a lot of these things under control. I have distanced myself from trusting his ways, and I've relied on my own ways because I think I know the way better. The great thing about the GPS now is you can do the ones where it has the updated traffic. There's a reason you should trust these things because they're trying to save you time and energy. And when you try to do life on your own, and when you try to drive from here to Pasadena, there's a bajillion ways to get from here to Pasadena, but there is one way that is going to be the fastest way. And you could trust your own understanding of the traffic. You could trust your own understanding of the construction. You could trust your own understanding of all the different things that are going on. Or you could put your trust in something that has a better perspective of the situation. And when we get self-reliant in our faith, we distance ourselves from trusting God's ways, his thoughts, and we trust our thoughts and we trust our ways. And when you trust your thoughts and your ways, you may run into obstacles that God is wanting to warn you about. When you trust your own thoughts, when you trust your own understanding, you might run into roadblocks that you could have avoided had you listened to his voice. There's nothing worse than traffic. And I don't know why I live in Los Angeles. Many of you love Disneyland. Not me. Too many people. Too many lines. Doubting God's ways. My GPS now will tell me, will reroute me. Has yours done this? It'll reroute you when there's an accident ahead that you can't even know about. You have no idea of understanding that could be there. And you can either hear that rerouting and say, nah, we got this. Or you can say, you know what? I think that's here to save me some time. I think that rerouting is here to help me avoid an obstacle. And you can listen and you can trust the new way that it sets for you. I think God is constantly wanting to get our attention, saying, I need to reroute you. This is not going to be good for you. I see the bigger picture. I have a heavenly perspective. My thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways. And I just simply want to save you the time and effort and energy. And I don't want you to reach a roadblock. I want you to have an abundant life. I want you to make progress. This is going to hurt you. There's been too many times where I have just not trusted God's ways, and I've wanted to do it all on my own. Can I talk to you really quickly about 3 different things here? Here are a few things to think about when you are doubting God's ways. So these are these things, file these away, because you may not be doubting God's ways right now, but you may be doubting God's ways later. So here's just a couple things that I would think of that will help you out the next time you're doubting God's ways. The first one is this: keep making progress. I can't say this enough, keep making progress. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." Don't let your doubts cause you just to simply be idle. That's what oftentimes happens. Our doubts make us stop moving forward. I've heard it said that God can only turn a moving ship. Have you heard that phrase before? God can only turn a moving ship. And unless you're not moving a direction, then it doesn't seem like anything's ever gonna change. The temptation is to, I don't understand what's going on. I don't trust your ways. Your procedures, your methods, they don't make sense to me. So in light of that, I'm just gonna dig my feet in the ground and I'm not moving until you make it clear. It's really hard for God to move somebody who is immovable. It's very hard for God to move someone who is in idle. You've taken your car out of drive and you're in neutral. When you put your car in neutral and you hit the gas, where do you go? Nowhere. You just hurt yourself. You just burn fuel that you don't need to burn. There's something that stirs God's heart when we just simply say, I don't get it all, I don't understand it all, but I am going to simply be obedient. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep moving forward. I don't get it all. I don't see the big picture yet. Things seem blurry. They seem risky. It seems like a mystery, but I am going to simply just do what you've called me to do, is simply make progress and move forward. There's something about remaining steadfast despite the obstacles. Being steadfast when there are no obstacles, well, that's easy. But being steadfast amidst obstacles, that's where faith is really polished in your life. That's where faith is really fortified. Number two, embrace challenges. This is a big one. Embrace challenges. James chapter 1, verse 2 says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." God's refining process, it uses trials to shape us. Too many times in my life, I have reached a trial or some sort of conflict, and I have run the other way because I don't want to have conflict. I don't want to have a trial. Does anyone else avoid conflict like the plague? Yeah, I don't look for it. I don't look for conflict. Oh, you and I have conflict? Cool, let's hang out and talk all about it. I don't do that. But there's something about embracing the challenges that God has in front of you that actually shape you. It'd be easier to hide from all the people that are difficult in your life. But there's something that God wants to do in you as you honor him in the process, that he wants to shape you in those difficult relationships. Heck, he might want you to be a blessing to somebody else, but you've got to be obedient and stay connected to that person. So if you avoid the trials, you're avoiding God shaping in you. We've got to embrace those sorts of challenges. Often the way that God shapes in us character and disciplines and integrity is that he simply gives us opportunity to walk in the things we're asking him to bring in our lives. Let me say it again. Oftentimes, we're asking God to shape in us character and disciplines and integrity. And the way he does that is he simply gives us opportunities to exercise those new qualities. It's not like you just wake up and you're boom, you're like this. He simply gives you opportunities to faithfully walk in it. Such as if you've been asking God to give you wisdom, he gives you a chance to do something wise. Is this too much? You say, God, I really want to have wisdom. He just gives you a chance to do something wise and not do something stupid. So the way that these qualities are shaped in you is through the challenges that God puts in front of you. So if you want God to make you more wise, but you hide from doing wise things, you'll never become more wise. If you've been asking God to give you patience, he just gives you someone to be patient to. That is probably the worst prayer ever, is that. God, I just want to be more patient. Prepare to be on the 405 for 6 hours and move nowhere. You know, God, just help me be patient. He'll bring someone into you that I call a VDP, a very draining person, and they are going to be calling you all the time. So don't be surprised when you're saying, God, I want to be more patient. Just be prepared to have an opportunity to exercise patience. That's how that quality is shaped in you. He doesn't just download it as you're sleeping. He just gives you a chance to walk in it. It would be so much easier, right? It would be so much easier just to wake up and go, man, something feels different about me. Oh, I'm patient. Like, that would be so much easier.
Come on.
Wait, did I get a haircut? No. Just patient. And I think this is where we miss it, church. We, each of us, every single person in this room, you want to be more like Jesus every single day. I know that is your prayer, that is your ambition. You want to be shaped and formed into the image of Christ in every single way, shape, and fashion in your life. But I tell you what, it just won't happen if you avoid the challenges that are in front of you. Because I believe with all my heart, those challenges are opportunities that some of that chiseling, that shaping, that polishing that God must do in your life to reveal Jesus in you must happen. And it will only happen through trials and challenges. Yeah. So a good way to understand this is if you are not being formed more into the image of Jesus, it may be that you aren't allowing the challenges of life to shape you. It may be part of the problem. When I've been in seasons where I'm having a hard time discerning what God is doing, I've learned to ask myself this question. Have you ever been in a season where you just want to get out of that season of life? Can this just end right now? Can I just, whatever, you know, I just need to get from here to, this is miserable. My kids be acting cray cray. My job is silly. My spouse is, well, they're beautiful and amazing in every way and always have been. My friends, my living situation. I just want to get from this season of life to the next season of life. And as long as we just are looking past this season to the next season, we miss the things that God wants to teach us. This is what I have learned in those seasons of life, and we've all felt that way. I just want to get from here to there. I just want to get to the other side of this. This is too hard. This baby's staying awake all the time. It's to stop and say, God, what do you want to teach me right now? Because I've got a theory on this. That season's gonna last as long as it takes for you to learn that lesson. So the quicker you learn the thing that God wants to teach you, the quicker you'll probably be on the other side of that season. And the quicker you'll stop looking at that season as punishment for something, and you'll start looking at that season as an opportunity for you to grow in some ways that you can only grow in that season of life. See, we want to look past the season and we don't actually grow. We are actually not shaped. And that's why Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, you are seemingly unchanged is because you're avoiding the challenges that God is laying in front of you. And he said, this isn't to hurt you. This isn't to harm you. This is to shape you and form you. Will you honor this person as you move forward? And lastly, keep the communication lines open. When I have had doubts about God's ways, I have just wanted to shut up. When I've had doubts about God's ways and God's methods, I have just wanted to pause the relationship. I've just wanted to break the communication down. I don't want to hear from you because you clearly don't want to hear from me because you're not doing things my way. So I'm just not going to give you any more attention. Many times, and most of the times, as you, as Christians, navigate doubt, when there are doubts that are unresolved in people's lives, it distances them from their church family. It's just one of the byproducts. When people have doubt, they go away, generally. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be one of those statistics. You can be a person that actually navigates your doubts in a way that honors God and the people around you, and actually builds your relationship with God stronger and your relationship with the other people around you. This doubt series, do you know me more? You don't have to answer this, but do you love me more? Are you embarrassed of me more? Are you ashamed of me more? Are you afraid of me more? Do you trust me more? See, that's what your doubts can do when you honor God with your doubts and you trust other people with your doubts. Because I don't think you're going to use my doubts as a weapon to harm me. I think our doubts, my doubts, have created a bridge that wasn't there before. And that bridge is beneficial for both of us, right? Keeping the communication lines open. Oftentimes when challenges hit, we just want to stop talking to God. We want to distance ourselves from people. We don't want to read our Bible. And when that guy talks to you and he always wants to talk about Jesus, you don't want to talk to me anymore because you're over it. But when you're frustrated, when you're disappointed, when you're hurt, when you're offended, it can be tempting to just give God the silent treatment. When we are in seasons of doubt, we just start behaving like a 7-year-old often. I have one I know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says this. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice, pray, give thanks in the majority of the circumstances. Rejoice, pray, give thanks in selected circumstances. It just doesn't say that. It says, rejoice, pray, and give thanks in all the circumstances. The mountaintops and the valleys, that's when the communication drives the strongest. When the things are going the greatest and you're on your honeymoon, Haley, and when everything is fantastic and you're just living life and everything you touch seems to be gold, rejoice, pray, and give thanks to God. And when things are just crumbling around you and everything you touch turns into a turd, rejoice and pray and give thanks to God. Yes. Keep the communication lines open. I don't know. Sometimes when you call, when you pray, does it feel like there's just heavy breathing on the other end of the phone? I don't know. But I'm just going to keep on dialing in. I'm going to keep on calling in because I know at some point in time, God's going to speak and I want to hear his ways because his ways are higher than my ways and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I don't want to trust my own understanding because I know my heart is deceitful above all else. It's wicked. It's going to lead me to really dangerous places in my life. And as long as the phone lines up, as long as I'm connected, as long as I'm reaching out, there's an opportunity for God to shed his grace and his mercy and his wisdom and his direction that I need so badly in my life. But if I just want to hang up the phone and say, I'm done. If you want to talk to me, you call me. You're in a dangerous position. Yes. When God's ways and thoughts are obvious, rejoice. When God's ways and his thoughts, they're blurry, rejoice. When God's ways and his thoughts are unrecognizable, rejoice. Yeah. When you're in a season where you are doubting God's ways, and doubting God's thoughts and doubting God's methods, keep making progress. Embrace the challenges and keep the communication lines open. But the best advice I have for you in any and every imaginable doubt is simply this, turn to Jesus. We sang a song, and honestly, the worship set preached the sermon better than the sermon. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. There is no other way. He is the way. Don't let your doubts divorce your relationship with Jesus. Let your doubts fortify your relationship with Jesus because he is the way. And he can make a way where there doesn't seem to be any way. He can make a stream through the desert. He can make a path in the wilderness. Making ways where there doesn't seem to be a perceived way by us is what God does best.
Lord, we just thank you for your word as you've just assured our lives that even in our doubts, Lord God, you're there and you're building us and you're putting your word into us. What a wonderful thing to realize that the spaces that we thought were holes in our lives, those doubts, there's actually you there. You there building us up. Strengthening us, Lord God, and sending us out. We thank you, Lord, for that and your word. Jesus, in your name, amen and amen.